Have you ever been sitting in a meeting that wasn't very stimulating, or in a classroom or some training at work, and hopefully not church, but or church, and you're just fighting sleep? I mean, you know, you're doing that thing where you're, you know, you're shaking your head, and it's just something that just wants to overpower you. I read last week in the newspaper sometime, I can't remember the name of the chemical, but turkey has some chemical in it that makes you want to sleep after you eat it. And I probably would have if I hadn't had three granddaughters around Thanksgiving, but there's something about a two-year-old, a five-year-old, an eight-year-old that you don't get much time for a nap. And if you do, they just think it's the grandest thing in the world to come over and say, "Gaga, Gaga, are you sleeping?" But I've been in those situations where I was just fighting sleep. And, you know, you really try to pay attention, but there's just not enough there to grab you and keep you going. And you nod a little bit, and you come up, and you nod a little, and then finally you're gone. But not gone long, because when we're sitting up like that, our body's response is sort of weird. So when we really start relaxing and we're sitting up and we're, you know, just easing into it and giving over to it, and we just go. And you know, we just jerk awake. And I think it feels more like a jerk to us than maybe everybody else. But and then it wins again. And unless you do something really embarrassing, and then that gets the adrenaline flowing, and you're awake. That's what Jesus was talking about in the Gospel of Mark. Don't be drowsy. Be alert. Be awake for the coming. I mean, it seems like God's people have been waiting for him to come and set up his kingdom forever. You know, it's not just a Jesus thing. You know, my whole life, I've heard Jesus is coming soon. You know, I'm 58 now, but ever since I've been around, I've heard people say, "Jesus is coming soon." And in ages past, they've been saying, "Jesus is coming soon." Jesus tells us he didn't know the day or the time. I mean, he was saying, you know, probably while you're still alive, God will set up his kingdom. Didn't work out that way. But he said he didn't know. Only the Father knows. Of course, we got some authors that seem to know or try to tell us they do and sell their books. But if he was coming that soon, they ought to give the books away. But they still make you pay $15, $20, $25 for them. Isaiah was talking about the Lord coming, wanting the Lord to come. I mean, what an affirmation of the power of our God Isaiah has here in this passage. I mean, he talks about this tremendous power of God. Oh, that you would just be like this craggy, dark mountain, powerful, majestic. And then all of a sudden there would be smoke going up, because whatever pools or streams on it are just evaporating in steam. And the earth would start to shake, and you'd see that powerful, majestic mountain rocking back and forth. You would feel the vibrations in your feet as you stood on the ground. And that mighty God would be like walking down from heaven and shaking the earth as he came present among us. Isaiah was looking for God to reveal himself in a powerful and a mighty way as his Redeemer, his Savior, his Anointed One, the Messiah, would come into the world. And yet, at that time, God seemed angry. Things weren't going well. Israel was under foreign domination. They'd lost their power and their majesty and their might. They were doomed to disaster. And yet, in the midst of that, talking about all of that power and all of that doom and gloom, we hear from Isaiah, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are clay. You're the potter. We are all the work of your hands. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember our iniquity. God, our Father, the potter who shaped us, who molded us, and oftentimes wants to reshape us and remold us into something better. That's what God wants for us. That's the message of this holy word, that God is always in the process of trying to shape and reshape our lives. That's what it's all about. How pliable are you? How flexible are you in allowing the Lord to reshape your life? You know, I think of a little baby the size of the one we were all just watching, remembering my babies. You know, they're so flexible. Their bodies, you know, they just sort of go limp. You know, that's one reason they survive car accidents. They're just, when they're that young, they're just so pliable. Their bodies just sort of take what's going on. The older we get, the more brittle we get. But children are just so pliable. I remember going to my Aunt Madeline's, who was, you know, the favorite aunt in the family for me. I've mentioned her before. She was sort of my biblical mentor in the family. And over at the apartments where she lived, and I grew up in around those apartments with her, and eventually my mother moved into those and my grandmother. So even after Aunt Madeline had died, we would go over to those apartments, and they had this really nice set of playthings, swings and sliding boards. And they had a sliding board at least as high as the top of that tree. And I remember taking Lisa and John over there when they were very young. John was maybe 3 years old. And he climbed up that sliding board, and I had positioned myself. You know, I got him started. There were handrails to go up, and he was going up, and I had positioned myself, you know, to kind of catch him as it came down. It was a pretty big sliding board. The only problem was at the top of that sliding board, the rails went up and hooked like this. And he got up there, and his little body went right through those rails and down on the ground. And if you ever thought you were in slow motion trying to get to your child, trying to get around that sliding board and to get over there so I could catch that little fella in my arms, and that little body just goes off the top and almost bounces off the ground. Scared us to death. Now, parents out here probably all have those scared-to-death stories. But do you know that little fellow was up running around in about an hour? He'd cut himself. He bit through his lip. But those little bodies are pliable and flexible. I guess that's the way God makes little bitty bodies so they can survive so much. Sadly, unfortunately at the same time, it helps those little bodies survive so much abuse when they're tiny children, too. So not even parental abuse. That body is flexible enough and survivable enough. So what is it as we get older that we get tight and inflexible? So that we can't go with the flow and we can't be reshaped so easily. We can't bounce back like we used to. But that's what we need. We need to allow God to be the potter and us the clay. One thing I like about this season is, you know, there's some neat movies come on TV, and there's one that came on last night, and it was, you know, it's one of those things that was on, but you're not really paying that much direct attention. And as the movie went on, I got more interested. But it was called Merry Christmas, M-A-R-Y, Christmas. And I just vaguely remember the beginning of it. It was about children writing letters to Santa Claus, and this TV commentator going to do a series on children who wrote letters. And so she wrote a letter, and her letter was, "Dear Santa, I just hope that my child is happy and safe." And she mailed hers and encouraged children to mail theirs, and they could mail it to the TV station and they'd get it to Santa. And the producer picked out a letter from a little 9-year-old girl who wanted a mommy for Christmas and wanted a wife for her dad. Her mother had died. And so the producer thought, oh, this is a good story. You know, we can get people to tune in as we do this night after night. So he handed her the letter, sent her to this home to meet this man and this little girl. They were well off. He worked real hard, wasn't there a lot. The little girl was a lot lonelier than he thought, loved and adored him as father. But the little girl wanted him to have a wife, and she wanted a mommy. And the sections go on, and this news commentator got close to the little girl, and a couple of nights the little girl asked that she be tucked in. You know how children are. In her mind, she was working on who she was going to choose for daddy. And things didn't seem to be going so well, so she got his book and called all of the women in his book. His little black book that he had dated, and said, "Daddy's really down, and I know he would appreciate you coming by such and such a time and cheering him up." And in the meantime, Dad realized this child was lonely. The news commentator told him about the letter, and so he decided to marry one of the women he had dated to make his daughter happy. Wouldn't you know, the daughter wasn't happy with his choice. And on this particular day, all of these women show up, even his dentist, whose name was Leslie. And created this real embarrassing moment. They were filming the last night. They were trimming the tree. And they pulled out a rather large star ornament that was a tradition in their house that was placed on the top of the tree. And when they pulled out that ornament, and the woman Dad had chosen to marry, they were going to have her put it on the tree, the news commentator fainted, passed out. The woman who was holding the ornament dropped it and broke it. And in a few minutes, the father learns that this was the natural mother of his 9-year-old daughter. He had never told her she was adopted. The only thing she had with her when she was adopted was this big glass star ornament that went on top of a tree that this woman's grandfather had made. And the moment she saw it, she passed out. And of course, it's a good Christmas story. They got together, and I'm sure they got married, and all was happy. And this little girl actually had her natural mother, who did not know where her daughter was, and their wishes were made complete. In a way, that's being pliable. The girl didn't know all of this story. The producer didn't know all of this story. Of course, there was a Santa Claus figure in this that helped things work out. But that's the way God works in our lives. Strange things happen in our lives that move us from place to place, that put us in this situation or that situation or another situation. And God is trying to shape and mold us. And if we're not pliable, if we don't go with the movement of God to work in our lives, we can miss everyday miracles. How pliable are you in God's hands? Shaping your life, shaping your destiny, putting you in places and situations where you would not choose to go. And yet that's the way God is trying to shape and mold you. In the midst of a story of the power of God, Isaiah says, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. No matter how bad things are, no matter what happens to our nation, our country, to Jerusalem, to the temple, you are still a mighty and powerful God. And you can use this, and you can take this, and you can shape it, and you can mold it into something beautiful. Your anger won't last forever. How pliable are we in taking all of the experiences of our lives and realizing that God may be shaping and molding us in some pretty difficult, horrible circumstances. But he's trying to shape us into the image of his Son, Christ Jesus, that we can be more fully alive and closer to him. That's what Advent's all about. Preparing our minds, changing our thinking, reframing and reshaping life to see God working among us as the great sculptor and potter who would mold us, would mold our church, would mold our nation if we will be more pliable and flexible and submissive to him. Let this season be a time of openness to God reshaping our lives and forming in us the image of Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we just get so comfortable in the things that we have set up in our own lives. And the older we get, the more inclined we are to find those comfortable places and not change a thing. Lord God, how many times have we missed your majesty, your love, your power, your might, because we just weren't flexible and pliable enough to allow your Spirit to shape us into what you want us to be. Thank you for giving children as an example of how malleable we can be. And you said, lest you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Shape us into the kind of people you want us to be. Shape our church in the kind of mission and outreach you want it to be. And reshape our world that the good news of Jesus Christ might be shared with all who seek it. For we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.